As we were continuing in our names of God, last week we did Jehovah Nisi, God our banner. And that banner is the banner that's raised in the war, where your army rallies around that banner. And we learned that Jesus was that very banner that we rally around. And I thought we would continue with the idea of warfare for a little while. And I thought I was going to get through all the armor tonight, but guess what? We're only going to do the belt of truth. But actually, there's some more background. That's why we need to look at what the armor is and what we're talking about in this mini-series that we're going into. Does everyone agree that we're in spiritual warfare? There is a war going on, an invisible war. I see some agreement, okay. And Satan is ruling this planet. This is what is so hard to tell people in the world sometimes. And we ran into a man this week who was so stubborn. And he says, I won't come to God as long as there's all this fighting and misery in this world and until he fixes it. And that means never. And I could not even get through to tell him that Satan's running this planet. He would just go, nonsense. But that's the truth. And that's why we're in this war that we are. And that means every time you look at a magazine, a newspaper, turn on your television, you are letting those ideas of the world, which are the exact opposite of God, into your home, into your mind, into your ears, and into your eyes. So when you accept Jesus as your Lord, I bet you didn't realize that you enlisted in the army. But you did. You enlisted in the army of God when you accepted him. And we are called to fight offensively and defensively. There are all kinds of positions in this army, but we are all called to fight. Now, the good news is we've already won. But we've got to battle it out. Joshua entered the promised land. It was given by God, but every city had to be fought for. And he spent his entire lifetime in a battle, and so must we. But we've won these battles already, and God has given us everything we need for the battle. Now, I need to remind you that with the Lord, everything is free will choice. He always demands your participation. He does everything, but he asks our part. Isn't that ironic? A lot of things with God are a paradox. He'll provide everything. He'll do everything. But he requires that we do something as well. We have to put on the armor that he gives us to fight. And I heard someone say a long time ago, don't be a Christian streaker. That was in the days when they said streaker. I don't know what the words are now. Don't go naked into the battle. A soldier wouldn't get up and go into the army and, oh, I left my gun on the bed. Oh, I forgot my helmet, you know. And so we have to put on every day the entire armor. Whether you do this in a couple seconds of time, I put on my armor today, or whether you go through it at more length, whether you do it out loud or silently, or more than one time a day, that will vary. And hopefully after we've studied these parts of the armor, you'll have more comprehension of, you know, and more thankfulness, really, of how well covered we really are and how to use these things. Because if we have the equipment and we don't know how to use it, that's no good either. And we'll just look at Ephesians 6, where the whole armor is, because I want to read the whole passage, even though we won't do it all tonight. And we're starting in verse 11. Put on. Do you see that is your part? You put on. Okay. I also like to suggest studies for you. Some people want to study, but they don't know how to study. That's why I give you sheets. But look up all the scriptures on put on. Put on and put off. And you'll find that we're to put on kindness, we're to put off anger. These are like the clothing And it's part of, you know, for the war, what we need to put on and what we need to put off. We need to put on the armor every day. The whole armor of God. And I gave you a little drawing of that, too, which you can, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's what we're going to study tonight. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to go back to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. And I looked up that word armor, and I wrote it on your sheet, I think. And the word in Greek is panoplia. Panoplia. And it means the full armor of a heavily armed soldier. It appears only twice in the New Testament. Another definition I found was the complete equipment used by a heavily armed infantry. So you're talking about the full, complete, total armor of God. You cannot get more equipped. Goliath was not more equipped. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I looked up wiles, and that word in Greek is methodia. Now, we get our word method, but it's trickery. To lie in wait. Does the devil lie in wait at every corner? Yes. Subtle, method, craftiness, deceit, strategies. Is there a strategy, a plan every day that the devil has to defeat you, if he can? Yes. Do you have to worry about it? No. Do you have to be on guard? Yes. And so I made up this little catchy phrase, put on the panoplia to stand against the methodia. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, if you don't, you won't. Stand. Okay. So we're called to be a warrior under the captain of salvation. And he has provided the complete armor we need for defense and attack, both. Okay. So I thought we would look at a few scriptures now to get a nice feel for this armor to lead into the study. So we need a little background. So Genesis 3 is where we start. Now we like to start back at the beginning. Genesis 3 verse 7. This was after Adam and Eve sinned. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 7. 3:7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They put on fig leaves. Fig leaves are pretty large if you look at them. I was thinking about that this month. But look at verse 21. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Did God accept the fig leaves? No. But he made clothes for them out of animal skins. One of the lessons of that we have learned is that blood was required for sin. The wages of sin is death. And this was the first death that entered, really. Those animals had to be killed to make clothes to cover the sin of man. But the point I want to make tonight is God clothed them. And, you know, this is the armor of God that he is clothing us with. However, we've got to put it on. But the point is that God is clothing us with everything we need for this battle. Okay? 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine. Who is this Philistine? Goliath, the giant. Then said David to this Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So what we're really wearing, this whole armor, is the name of God and the power and the authority of God. And it's spiritual, our armor, even though we're going to define it in terms of a sword and a shield. God is our armor. Okay. Isaiah 59:16. And he, the Lord, saw that there was no intercessor, there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, we're going to have the same thing, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. This is the armor of the Messiah, Jesus. And you can, you know, go back and read these and think about it, but I'm building a case. And, of course, Jesus is going to be our armor, and he's wearing this armor also. He's wearing the righteousness and so on. Let's see that the armor really is Jesus. Go to Romans 13, Romans 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Amen. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So it's an armor of light that we're wearing, and then the armor is Jesus himself. And you'll see here that there are more scriptures about what we have to put on and put off. Remember, I spoke to you about having two closets, one full of garments that are white, that are light, that are sweet-smelling, and one of filthy rags and stinky rags. And if you look at your put-on and put-off scriptures, you'll see what's in each closet. So when you're in anger, you can say, oh my gosh, I put on this smelly old dress. Let's take it off and put on Jesus right now. So we choose continually what clothing we're going to wear in this battle. And when we put on the clothing of the flesh, we are fair game for the devil. And we are not too good for the army of God. So we see the armor is Jesus, and then we're not going to turn to Ephesians 6 again, because we saw that it says put on the whole armor of God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So those are just a few scriptures on the armor. And now we're going to talk tonight about the very first thing that comes up in Ephesians 6 in the armor, and that it says, let your loins be girt about with truth. What in the world does that mean? So let's, this figure about loins girded, strange, huh? It comes from Exodus 12:1. So let's look at that together. Remember, we always like to look at the first place it appears and try to figure it out. 12:11. Sorry. Exodus 12:11. God is speaking to Moses and Aaron right now, talking to them about the Passover. And he says, and you shall thus eat it, the lamb, with your loins girded. So this is the first place it is. Your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So we get the idea that what it actually was, you know, the men wore long skirts because they were wearing tunic tops. So if they wanted to run or fight, it got a little cumbersome. So what they did was take the belt, the sash, that tied their waist, and also put it up between their legs, making it into pants, and girding their loins. And then they were ready to run, ready to fight, ready to move quickly. That's the idea. Also, Jesus girded his loins when he served the disciples and washed their feet. So it implies freedom and movement to serve the Lord. So that's where we get the image. It's readiness for active service. It's alertness. And it suggests readiness. Okay? So let's look at Isaiah 11:5. This is talking about Jesus again. It says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And so we get the idea that there's righteousness and faithfulness. When they use the word girdle, it's like a sash. And also the word gird, from which we get girdle, because as women we think of something that puts the whole body into shape. But they were sash. It was the sash that held the tunic together and then was brought up through the legs in order to run and to fight. So here we see that Jesus has a girdle or a sash around his loins that is righteousness and faithfulness. Because what I'm trying to show you is that all the parts of the armor are really spiritual things. And there's lots of scripture, you know, to back it up as we zero in. So when we're wearing our spiritual armor and we're looking today at our belt, what is it going to be about? What have we got to do? Okay, Nahum, if you can find him. I put a mark in my Bible. Nahum 2:1, and if you can't, I'll just read it to you. Micah is before and Habakkuk after. That's why it's only a page or two. Nahum 2:1. He that dasheth in pieces. Now, who is that? That's your enemy, any enemy, right? And our old foe, the devil. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. So it's a good warfare scripture and showing again about girding your loins as being part of battle. Luke 12, we can find that, I think. Luke 12:35. let your loins. And again, do you notice the verb when it says put on or let? It's your choice. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. I like that. And of course, we know that you she looks at me funny. When we think, what does that mean? Think about Scripture. Remember the 10 virgins, 5 had oil in their lamps and 5 didn't. And the Lord told us to let our light so shine before men. And when you have, it's a readiness. It's alertness. It's looking for the Lord. You know, it's all those things. And so that it's all readiness. Keep your loins girded and your lights burning. Okay. 1 Peter 1. Verse 13 is pretty interesting. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So now do you understand what that might mean? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what would it be to gird up the loins of your mind? It would be to be disciplined in your mind, to be sober-minded, sound-minded, have the mind of Christ, to be spiritually minded. No? And so it's interesting. So when you trace the idea, the readiness, readiness to fight, readiness to serve the Lord, up in your mind, gird up the loins of your mind as well. So our belt of truth, even though we're talking about it in the armor, there's also that application. And I think I wrote on your sheet 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, which you can look up, and it says, pull down strongholds and vain imaginations and every high idea that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring your thoughts into captivity to Christ. That's girding up the loins of your mind. But that we'll study when we get to the helmet of salvation, which really covers the mind, but all these things intertwine. So what we were looking at was, what in the world is girding up your loins? And it says, girt yourself about with the belt of truth. So now we have the idea that we're to tie together our armor with this belt of truth. And the loins girded is important because it's like it holds together some of the breastplate. Look at your picture. And the sword hangs off the belt. And it kind of pulls, it's the center of the outfit, you know. And so you might say that it's the central support. It holds everything in place. And so if you don't have the belt on, a lot of other things are going to fall apart or fall off. You're not going to be able to keep the sword on or keep the breastplate on. So it's sort of central. Now we know that Satan is the father of lies. So we're going to walk in truth. This is a belt of truth. And if you have deceit in your life, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, if you are holding any lies in your life, it's going to destroy you inwardly. And it's going to, we need to walk in total truth. And if you don't, you're going to suffer and the whole spiritual life will suffer. What is truth? Now this is one of the most important lessons in all of Christianity. And I put several equations on your page. Truth is God. Truth is Jesus. Truth is the Word of God. Truth is what God says, or which is the Word of God. Nothing else. I don't think on your sheet, but you might want to write it on the back. Fact. Fact. Fact is anything that is done or happens. Anything existing. Okay. We do not walk by fact. We walk by truth. And I want you to get that in your head, because this is going to help you win this war. That's what the belt of truth is all about. We walk by truth and not by fact. Okay, you know people who come up to you and they say, "That is a terrible looking dress. It's just about the worst color for you." And they pride themselves that they are truthful. Do you know people like that? You know, they always tell you the truth, and it's always some devastating thing. Okay, that is not truth. That is fact. We walk by truth. I always give the example of somebody coming toward you that maybe you've had a little argument with in the past, but you've forgiven them in the Lord, and you ask God to help your emotions come around to the reality of the forgiveness. And here they come. Your flesh acts up. The devil starts whispering, "I don't want to see that person. I don't want to hug that person. I hope they walk the other way. I want to walk on the other side of the street." And any number of variations, right? But there you are, right in front of them, and you find yourself hugging them and saying, "I love you." And then the devil comes like that, and he says, "Liar, hypocrite. You know you hate them, and you just said you love them. What kind of Christian are you?" And it's downhill from there. Okay, but here is how you sort it out, if you have your belt of truth on. The truth is what? What the Word of God says. The Word of God says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Therefore, the truth is that I have the love in my heart for that fellow brethren, that woman. And I walk by truth and not by fact. I walk by spirit and not by flesh. And I tell the devil, if I had done a hateful thing, I would have been living my life by the flesh. But I reckon my flesh dead, and I live in the new life, which is truth. Be gone, Satan. Okay. And the truth of God is always love. Always. People can be righteous, self-righteous. They can be quoting scripture at you. They can be using scripture with a heavy hand. If it's not love, it isn't God, even if they have the trappings of spiritual things. So we walk by the Word of God. That's why you've got to know the Word of God. Otherwise, you're not going to have anything to fight with. Now, God is gracious and merciful. Therefore, He gives, and we have the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Leads us into truth, right? And He brings remembrance, thank God, of things to our minds. And He even brings the right things forth, even if we haven't learned them or studied them yet. And God has much grace, but He expects us to do our part, and that is grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He doesn't expect you to have, by next week, the book of Genesis memorized. It would be great if He led you to do that. That's not the point, but that you set your heart toward growing in the things of God, reading your word every day, and adding things of God to your life. And then you will stand in the truth, and you need not fear, "Do I have all the scriptures that I need," or anything like that. Okay? So truth. We judge everything. I say it again. We judge everything by the Word of God. As women, we struggle with feelings. Your feelings today may tell you that you're insane. Is that the truth? No, that's fact. The truth is that you have a sound mind and that you have the mind of Christ if you choose to put it on. Okay. Circumstances come along and you feel like you're going to die. The truth is that God says, I've given you victory in all things. And so you are victorious. So we judge feelings. We judge circumstances. Circumstances say you don't have any money to pay the rent. That's a fact. But it's not the truth. The truth is that God will provide all of his needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he promises to feed you and clothe you better than the lilies of the field. And he cares more than the sparrow. And he knows when every sparrow falls to the ground and these teeny weeny birds all over the earth, he knows them. But he cares more for you and knows every hair on your head. That's the truth. If you feel fear, the circumstances, there's a Goliath in front of you with a javelin that I forget it was 15 feet long or however long it was, made out of steel, aimed at your heart. You know, that's fact, but that's not true. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And David stood on the truth. You are against God. You are a loser. You dare to raise your voice against my God, the creator of the universe. So that's how we're dealing with the belt of truth. See, so you judge feelings, thoughts, circumstances, and what people say. You know, that good old one, whatever they say. And some people do things on purpose with their lips, and some people most of the time do them ignorantly, but they still hurt. And when people say things to you, you go to the Lord, and they might have delivered it in a very bad way, maybe even in anger or hate. But whenever something's hurled at you, say, Lord, is there truth in this? I take this to you, God, and show me. You confirm it or not. If there is, then repent and forgive the person anyway. And if there is no truth in it, then bring it into captivity. Gird up the loins of your mind and toss it out. So do you see, if you're bringing everything against this belt of truth, against the word of God, then that's how you're going to judge it. And if you're not doing that, you're going to be tossed like the waves of the sea. And anything the enemy throws at you, you're game for. But when we stand in the armor, and we're going to learn about all the parts, then you stand. Okay? And so that's the gist of truth, and I thought we would just look up a few truth scriptures. So let's look at Psalm 51:6. David was called a man after God's own heart because David just got so many insights, and this was one of the insights that he spoke of is Psalm 51:6. And remember when Psalm 51 was written, do you know or maybe you don't? This is after the prophet Nathan had come to David with the story about a man who had many, many sheep and stole the one single lamb of his neighbor and cooked it and served it to the company. And David rose up and said, this man should be killed for doing such a terrible thing. And Nathan turned to David and said, thou art the man. Because he had taken Bathsheba, the one wife of Uriah, and killed her husband beside, and then tried to hide it. And the reason that David's a man after God's own heart is he could repent. And he repented. And Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance, one of the psalms he wrote right after that, where he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. And he says in Psalm 51:6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom." God wants us to wear this belt of truth deep within. And it's two things, as I see it, and that is the Word of God, which we've been talking about, and also truthfulness, not deceit. That you live a life of honesty. And in order, you know, it says that our heart deceives ourselves. It's desperately wicked. So what do we do about that? We say, "Lord, search me and try my ways, and if there be any wicked way in me, please let me know, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." And we keep on repenting. A walk with Jesus is a walk of repentance continually. And you know, he's so good, he never shows us more than we can bear, more than we can take. And if he did, we'd just dissolve. And so as we walk with him more, he's able to layer more. He's able to show us deeper sins. In the beginning, when I came to Christ, you know, you usually think you're pretty decent. And then, you know, I mean, you don't, but you do. And then as you, the more you're in the light, the more black you look. The more you know the Lord, the more you see your sin and your wickedness. It's redeemed, it's forgiven. And so we continually go before him to cleanse more and more and deeper and deeper. God desires truth in our inward parts. So he wants the Word of God, the belt of truth, to be deep, deep inside of us. And he wants honesty. And you might do another study where you just look up the word honest or honestly. Because there were about 10 of those scriptures that I chose not to use. Like, walk honestly before all men. When the world accuses us of being hypocrites, you have to say, not the true Christian. There are plenty of hypocrites, but let us not be one. And a hypocrite is someone with a false face on, you know, those Greek masks with the smile and the frown. Yeah. They would hold them in Greek theater up before their face on a stick, depending which part they were playing. And that's where you get the word hypocrite. It's a mask, or without sincerity or truth. We don't want any masks, and we have to keep asking the Lord to unmask us, and that we wouldn't deceive ourselves. If you're just quoting scripture and you have not love, you are a hypocrite. If you say you love the Lord and you love not your brother, you are a hypocrite. So all of us have degrees of that, and we just ask the Lord to help us in that, because he looks at our heart as to whether we're trying. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about heart attitudes and goals and a process. So he wants truth. He doesn't want us to be one thing in church and something else at home. He doesn't want us to say one thing to our brother and be different to our neighbor. So we all have to always examine ourselves, and we don't want hidden sin and lies and deceit, as I was saying, secret sins and things like that. Get it out before the Lord, or with godly counsel, a friend that can pray with you or something like that, and so that it's always truthfulness. Okay, he wants truth inside, not just outward. He talked to the Pharisees about that. He said, "You're worried about being clean on the outside, and within you're a whited grave, a tomb." So we don't want that. God starts his house cleaning from the inside out, and man always wants to do it from the outside in. You know, if they look good and they're clean shaven and they're carrying their Bible, okay. But not talking about all that inside their heart. But God starts working in those inward things, and the rest sort of cleans itself up. Okay? Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, It doesn't mean that God's a big bird, by the way. That's symbolic language of his protection as a bird covers her young. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So again, you see that spiritual armor. It's God's truth that we're walking in, and his word of God, and it's a shield and buckler. We're talking about it being the belt. By the way, the shield is a big thing. We're going to learn that. The buckler is the little one. Sometimes we think about our shield of faith being this little thing, and how's it going to cover all the fiery darts? You know? But anyway, his truth will be the shield and buckler for us. It's the armor. So talking about truth. Psalm 119, 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. So there you get that the word of God is truth. There are other scriptures that tell it. So that's what we have to walk by, God's word. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So, when we are walking in truth, not only do we have victory over the devil, but we have nearness to God. And sometimes we wonder, why, God, aren't you hearing me? And maybe we need to examine our hearts that we're not standing in truth before him. Maybe there's an unconfessed sin or an improper attitude or something. And the Spirit will let you know that. Otherwise, you just proceed. And of course, we're all walking in Jesus, and that brings us into that fellowship with the Lord in truth. So we stand in that covering. But still, God demands of us that holiness too, that we begin to move, not be perfect, but be becoming perfect. Okay? Proverbs 16:6. 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So this is a great scripture. It tells us that truth kicks sin away. It says truth purges. You know what purging is? Getting it out. Truth gets sin out. As we walk honestly before the Lord and before men, sin stays away from our door, and God hears us and is near to us. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a scripture you can meditate on until we see him face to face. And it'll get deeper and deeper. But we need to worship God in truth, not with hypocrisy. And also with a sincere heart and being honest before God and men. And, you know, if you're convicted by any of these things, then you go home and you repent. Or you stay here and we pray and you repent. And we keep on. And when we catch ourselves being untruthful in any of these areas, then, oh Lord, forgive me. And you repent and you get back to the place where you need to be. His mercies are new every morning. And 2 John, and that's just before Revelation, the three Johns, you know. Not the Gospel of John. So 2 John, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. The whole armor is Jesus. Just, you know, like we see as we examine the Word, every part of the feast days, every name of God, the fulfillment of everything, the whole tabernacle, everything is fulfilled in the Lord and is the Lord. He is the Word. He is the truth. I probably should have used that one too. He is the living Word, the Word become flesh, since the Word is truth. But here he says, I am the truth. So you might make a note beside that. He is the Word, because the Word is truth as we've defined it. And as we saw in that scripture earlier, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is what we put on, and when we put him on, we put on truth. And see, our effort is the putting on and keeping it on. Okay. Sometimes it slips off during the day. Whoops. Remember sometimes those pantyhose, how they... Anyway, so we need to keep that belt of truth on. That's our part, but he will provide everything else. It says, in his power, in his might, he gives us the armor. It is his armor, it is him, but we have to put it on. Now, 2 John, verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children, walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And if you go to the next epistle of John, the third epistle, same verse, 4, I thought that was interesting. That's why I put them both in, as I thought that's an easy thing to remember. 2nd and 3rd John, verse 4, it's pretty much the same. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's the Lord speaking. He has no greater joy than when we walk in truth, and that's wearing that belt of truth. So let me review a little bit here in a practical way. If it doesn't, whatever the it is, thoughts, feelings, circumstances, other people's words. If it doesn't match the Word of God, it is a L-I-E, lie. And if you've heard Jerry McGee's new children's warfare tape where she teaches her granddaughter, who's 4 and knows hundreds of scriptures already, she plays the game that she's the devil, or the wolf, as they say in Texas, and who knocks on the door, and he always has a lie. It says, you're ugly. Knock, knock. Who's there? You're ugly. Go away, you're ugly, in the name of Jesus, for it is written.
I was thinking of the Bride of Christ.
I'm the Bride of Christ. Yes. Something like, I'm drawing a total blank, of course, because we're on tape. Go away, you're ugly, in the name of Jesus. And at point, and she keeps doing, knock, knock. Who's there? Fear. Go away, fear, in the name of Jesus, for it is written. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. Go away, you lying spirit, in the name of Jesus. Well, that's what we need to learn to do. So everything that comes in that is not matching the Word of God is a lie, and you say, you lying spirit, go away. Now, you need to have a scripture. Holy Spirit, give me a scripture to counter that attack, because the Word is truth. Okay? So that's how we wear this belt of truth. And Satan comes with doubts. That's one thing he does. Fears. Sometimes he runs right alongside the truth, you know. That's his best counterfeit. But with the Holy Spirit, it leads us into all truth, and we have discerning of spirits. He comes to you, says you're insane. No, I have a sound mind. So on. Also, the devil gets you to stare at your flesh. It's hard sometimes when you look in the mirror. Of course, we could break our mirrors, I guess. But everything in the flesh is a lie. And self-pity is one that women fall prey to the most. And murmuring and complaining close behind. Also, the scripture seems to tell us that we're susceptible to gossip and to being busybodies. These are things of the flesh. And if the devil can get you to focus on them, that that's your reality, then he's got you, and it's downhill from there. So you've got, the goal is to catch it quicker and quicker and quicker. And no matter how far along the path of destruction you are, it's never too late to just stop and turn back. The devil will say, oh, it's too late. I mean, you've already been mad for 2 days. You might as well go for four more. But you can stand and turn at any point, and it's not too late with the Lord. So he gets you to stare at the flesh, condemnation, pride, discouragement. The word says, faint not. Do not be weary in well-doing, for he will reward you in due time. It says, if you are weary and faint, what? God will lift you on the wings of eagles, and you will run and not walk, and you will not faint, and so on. So if the flesh is telling you you're weak and faint, fight with the word. That is not the truth. The flesh is not the truth. He tries to get you to have faith in people. That knocks most Christians out at the first round. They'll walk away from God because their pastor fell, or because people in church were mean to them or betrayed them. But those are tests we have to pass. And if you don't have your eyes on the Lord, then you will fall. If you don't have your eyes on the truth, you'll be knocked out by the devil, or he'll get at least a punch in. So we can't have faith in people. The word says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the only one worthy of our faith. We trust people as the Lord shows us to trust them or not to trust them, but we don't trust our lives unto them. When it says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, that word believe means totally trust and rely on. He's the one our faith is centered on and nothing else. So again, the word will bring you and correct you. So we need to ask God to show us daily his wisdom. You know, I think that's my most frequent prayer. Maybe there are others I should use this frequently. God, give me wisdom. Because I don't know, ever know what to do or what to say, or when someone's walking toward me, or when my husband comes home, or when he's just said something I don't like or something I do like. It doesn't matter, really, because I have no wisdom, but all wisdom resides there, and I better ask, as it says in James, and he'll give it to me liberally. So if we rely on our flesh instead of the Lord, we're in trouble. Speak the truth. Be hard on yourself. Let's try to catch ourselves this week. There's no such thing as a white lie and a black lie. It's like white witchcraft and black witchcraft. It's all witchcraft. And so there's not such thing as a little lie and a big lie and so on. And God will work deeper with us the longer we've been with him. Our boasting, our stretching the truth, our exaggeration. You know, and as women, sometimes we've been trained to lie in order not to hurt people, offend them, or make waves, or, you know, whatever your parents did, examine that. And just watch your words, that we speak the truth. Now, also remember, when I say speak the truth, it's speak the word of God and not fact. And that's hard. I mean, God's really working on me. This month, I have caught myself saying the worst things so often. They're facts, but they're not truth. No, especially to my husband. Hope he doesn't hear the tape. Anyway. We need to speak. My goal is that every word out of my mouth will be the word of God. that doesn't mean I'm going to go around quoting King James, and you know, but that everything would be of the Lord, not my own opinions and my own ideas, and critical and judgmental and gossip and backbiting, and you know, speak the truth, meditate on the truth, and stand up for the truth. Meditate on the truth. Think on the word. Don't meditate on the lies. And we all know how they come and how easy it is to just dwell. And I've used this example. Satan throws that seed in there, that word, that dart or whatever, that evil seed. And you, what do? You water it, dig up the ground a little bit, fertilize it, and then there's this big black plant in your head, and you say, how did that ugly thing get there? So meditating on the word, and when it's not the word, out. At first you may have to do it thousands of times, and you'll think this will never end, it's so tedious, but it isn't like that. It's like driving or typing or learning a skill that seems so laborious at first, and after a while it's so automatic you never even realize you're doing it. So it will be with the things of God and bringing your mind into captivity. Even if it's rusty at first, you will win in the Lord, because you've already won. And standing up for the truth, we've got to do it more in this world. We've got to make a stand. We've got to speak up when people are saying things that are wrong. You don't have to go around, you know, accusing everybody of their wrongdoing or anything like that. But when it's right there and it's right in front of you and you need to stand for righteousness, stand for the Lord, stand for what is right, don't compromise on the television shows, the movies, the dirty jokes, the gossip. Don't give your ear to evil. If it's a dear, dear friend in the Lord and for years she's been calling you and dumping garbage, make a stand and say, no, I don't want to hear that anymore. That brings me down. It's not helping anybody. I make a stand for the truth. The truth's only what the Word of God says, and this isn't helping either of us. And many other ways that the Lord will show you this week. Because as he enlightens us on truth, then he'll test us, and he'll expand us, and he'll enlarge us in wearing our belt of truth this week, and on from this week forever. So the belt, the truth, that is, as it's revealed to us through the Word, and as it's living in our inward parts. So that's the first part of the armor. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we stand in your power, that we stand in your might, as we have no strength in ourselves. And Lord, thank you for the belt of truth. Help us to put it on this week. And help us, Lord, to walk in truth, walk in love, stand up in truth, for the truth, meditate on the truth. Help us, Lord, to have a hunger for the Bible, that we might know the Word and have more and more truth as part of our life. And God, I pray for each of us that every time a lie comes, whether it's feelings or thoughts or circumstances or accusations or words from people or television or anywhere, God, that we will test it against the Word of God. And it will be like a bell going off in our heads, wrong, 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 and that we won't dwell on it. We won't get into self-pity. Lord, help us to wear the armor this week. And we thank you that you give us everything we need for life and godliness. In Jesus' name, amen.